This evening, if you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we come to the table of the Lord, we take some time now to reflect and think about the cross of Jesus. One of the great confessions of the church, as we have learned, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared to me also." So tonight we pause at the table as we come to this place to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross. And so again, verse number 3 and 4, I delivered to you as of first importance, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried. I'd like for you to close your Bibles, and I want to read to you tonight. And as I read these words, I want you to think about and consider again the suffering of Jesus and the cross. Early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council immediately held a consultation. And binding Jesus, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pilate. Pilate questioned Him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And He answered, "It is as you say." The chief priests began to accuse Him harshly. Then Pilate questioned Him again, saying, "Do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further answer. So Pilate was amazed. Now, at the feast, He used to release for them any one prisoner whom they requested. The man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. The crowd went up and began asking Him to do as He had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priests had handed Him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask Him to release Barabbas for them instead. Answering again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Him whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify Him." But Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has He done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify Him!" Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged, he handed Him over to be crucified. The soldiers took Him away into the palace, that is the Praetorium. They called together the whole Roman cohort. They dressed Him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on Him, and they began to acclaim Him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They kept beating His head with a reed and spitting on Him and kneeling and bowing before Him. After they had mocked Him, they took the purple robe off of Him and put His own garments on Him, and they led Him out to crucify Him. They pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear His cross. Then they brought Him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. They tried to give Him wine mixed with myrrh, but He did not take it. They crucified Him and divided up His garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide what each man should take. It was the third hour when they crucified Him. The inscription of the charge against Him read, "King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right, one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with transgressors." Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you who are going to destroy the temple, rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Behold, he is calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave him a drink, saying, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him, and there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had already come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. And he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate wondered if he was dead by this time and summoned the centurion. He questioned him as to whether he was already dead. And ascertaining this from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were looking on to see where he was laid. Let's bow our heads. So tonight, Heavenly Father, we have come before you and we thank you for sending Jesus that we might have life and hope. We thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit of God that you have given to each of us who are born again tonight. So we gather at this table tonight. We ask that you would cleanse us from the inside out. And Lord, that we would not leave this place practicing the same sins we've come in here practicing, or we're hypocrites. We are hypocrites. So, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, the way we think of others, the way we speak to people, the way we do not honor Jesus in our life. And we ask you to forgive us. We pray that you might help us as the church here in this place, that as we go back to the world tomorrow, that we might be Jesus to other people, that we might truly reflect in our lives the joy of Jesus and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for taking insults upon yourself. We thank you for dying that we might have life. So, Lord, tonight, forgive us when we have been insulters. Forgive us when we have treated others improperly. So we ask tonight that you would forgive us of our sins. As we come to this table, we come to this table asking that we would have clean hands and pure hearts. And Lord, that as we take these elements, we recognize that you are here with us. And we thank you for it. With your head still bowed, Jesus, after the resurrection, He came to His disciples and He stood there with them. And just before He ascended, He gave us our instructions of what we're to do until He comes again. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and I am with you always to the end of the age." So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance undefiled, reserved for us in heaven. And though for a little while, Lord, we suffer alongside of You. We cannot ever suffer as You suffered. But if we seek to suffer, we suffer for the name of Jesus, for doing what is right, for living in an honorable way. So, Lord, tonight, we pray that You might look into our hearts and see our desire to come to You, to be forgiven, to live lives that matter, and that You might join us so that we might do Your work, and we recognize Your presence here with us. We thank You, eternal God. We thank You for all that You have done for us. We thank You for Your abiding presence with us by the wonderful Holy Spirit, who teaches us, encourages us, guides us, and works with the same power that raised our Lord Jesus from the dead inside of us. May we live by the power of God day to day. So we come to this table remembering Your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. We honor You tonight. You told us not to forget, to do this in remembrance of You. We're not forgetting You. We're not forgetting You. We remember tonight, and we thank You. So in the quiet of this moment, again, let's make sure that in our lives all is right. We're prepared to come to this table. Paul tells us, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this many among you are weak and sick, and some have died. So, Lord, help us to discern these elements tonight as we are in Your presence, as we recognize You moving in and among us. You've said to us, where two or three are gathered together, in My name I am there. So we welcome You to the table, Lord Jesus. We honor You. You are the honored one. We're humbled to be here to join You at this place for Your sacrifice for us. So while we still are in an attitude of prayer, would our deacons come as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper? So Paul writes for us, "I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread and He gave thanks." At this time, we want to give thanks. We want to give thanks for the broken body of Jesus for us.
Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight to honor Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For Father, we know that His broken body the bread that this represents nourishes our hearts, fills our souls. Father, with broken bread, we know that yeast makes bread rise. And Father, we also know that Jesus rose from the grave, triumphant over death, that he might be our Lord and Savior. And we thank him for being the Lord of Lords, the King of all kings, our beloved Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless you, my friend. Oh, Lord, bless you. Bless you. Troy. God bless you, my friend. And Jesus took the bread. He broke the bread. He gave thanks and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The Bible tells us in the same way, he took the cup after the supper and gave thanks. Let's give thanks.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, Father. We're humbled that you would sacrifice your only begotten Son, Father, to save us from our sins. As we take this cup, Father, we pray that you would help us to remember on a regular daily basis, Father, that the cup represents the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness and gives us hope for eternity. We thank you for the shed blood, Father, that you paid the ultimate sacrifice that we might have eternal life. Help us to live in a way that's pleasing and according to your will, Father, that everything we say and do would honor and glorify you. We pray this in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My friend.
Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks, saying after the supper, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to write to remind us, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Amen. So let's say together, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.